Hello, everybody. I am Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl and Wisdom Weaver of Cosmic Owl Astrology. And I'm here today to give you the rest of the week's transits until next Monday, when I will do the week ahead again. Last week, I did a longer one to cover my trip to see the eclipse. And my trip to see the eclipse was actually a day longer than I expected, because we ended up having flight delays and all kinds of issues yesterday, and had to spend the night in Denver before we could get back this morning. But that's okay, and that's why I look a little bit frazzled and a little bit tired. But hey, we'll be back to it tomorrow. But here's the rest of the week ahead forecast, starting today, the 10th, and taking you through the 14th. And then we'll get back on track. So let me share the chart and we'll dive in. So this one should be a little quicker. So I've already written about this one this morning, but today we have the Mars-Saturn conjunction. In fact, you can see that they're already together by minute. The exact conjunction in the software is a little bit later, but they are conjunct right now. And it is bringing water events. There's a dam bust in Russia a few days ago, but it's caused quite a lot of flooding. I know that there is in Utah, there is a dam leaking, I would say. More than bust, and they're trying to kind of fix that before it gets worse. A lot of people are reporting plumbing issues. I actually had a plumbing issue come up about 2 weeks ago, so this has been coming. This is Mars and Saturn, both quite push energy in the oceanic waters of Pisces. But there's also a lot of fear around this. And this can also be personally a great conjunction. It happens about every 2 years and starts a new cycle of what you are building, what you are creating, what are you driven to master, which is very Saturnian. And so, this is about mastering some of your self-limiting beliefs, about kind of building this greater connection with the interconnectedness of all that is. And also about surrendering and letting go and trusting the process of a lot of things. So I kind of like this conjunction. It's happening exactly square my Jupiter in the 12th house, so I'm feeling it big time. But there may be some sense checks, some reality checks about where you need to kind of tighten things up, or where you need to become more mature and old and more grown up, and calm your reactive jets. But it can also have the side of victimhood or even martyrdom if people are not very aware of what's going on, and if people still stay in their reactivity. But I did write about all of this on my Substack today, and there's always a link to my Substack in the description. And I do write daily energy posts on my Substack, and they are free. Paid subscribers support that daily writing, but they also get the shitty first drafts of my book. So if you'd like to subscribe, you're very welcome. But I'd love you to subscribe to my YouTube channel as well. I am a prolific content creator, and I love to give as much of it away as I can for free. But I also have a membership community called The Nest, and I also am offering a webinar on May the 1st about the next Venus star point that is in Gemini, 14 degrees again, actually. And it's actually going to be square to this or this conjunction point. And that's the actual conjunction. The Sun Venus Kazemi star point is going to be on June the 4th. And it's a pretty big one for quite a lot of reasons. So that webinar link will also be in the description. But back to today. So that's where we started. And we also have the moon in Taurus, which is a lovely rooted, grounded moon. But you can see the moon is about to move to 30 degrees beyond the sun after the new moon eclipse. Such an amazing experience, by the way, seeing that. Oh, it was magical. There's some shorts. I took a short of what it kind of felt like in the totality, if you want to check that. Just click on shorts in my channel. But anyway, the Taurus moon is helping us to root in this energy. So this is another reason why I kind of think it's not a bad conjunction. So much fear around it going on about there's going to be storms and shipwrecks and all kinds of dreadful things. And of course, the dam in Russia is unfortunate. And if you have plumbing floods like we did, that's unfortunate. But I kind of think this also reveals holes where leaks can come through, where water can find its way. And that can be a good thing and not so good. And it's not everybody's going to have floods. I'm sorry if you are experiencing them. Anyway, I love that the moon in Taurus today has just been conjunct Jupiter and will conjunct Uranus shortly, activating that magical conjunction that's coming up on April the 20th. I did a whole video on that, so you can go and watch that. All right, so moving, I'm not going to go through all the lunar aspects. They're the major ones, the Jupiter Uranus. We're starting to feel like something's shifting, something's changing, something new is coming. The eclipse is, the moon is starting to gain light after the eclipse. Aries new, Mars rules Aries, comes to Saturn. We're mastering something. Okay, but it's also saying slow down. You don't have to do it all at once. You don't have to take risks. This is about creating something very new. Okay, so let's move into the 11th, because I've already written about the 10th. I'm not going to get the times exact for the transits, but on the 11th. Okay, so, oh, actually, we do have quite a big day. I will get this one. Exact. We have the Mercury Kazemi. I am just catching up, so forgive me for that. The Kazemi is actually going to be at 7:02 p.m. Eastern, and it will happen probably for most of the day, really. The old rule was that it had to be 17 minutes either side, but a lot of people just talk about when they're both at the same degree now. The Kazemi in the middle of the retrograde is usually a sweet spot in the middle of the retrograde. Some big clarity can come in during the Mercury Kazemi. And I think with the moon now moved into Mercury's sign, Gemini, moves in early tomorrow. So Mercury is ruling the moon. I think there's going to be some big aha mental, insights about what's coming out of this period that we're in, this crazy chaotic month of April, which is going to change everything, a new reality in so many ways. But we're going to start to get an idea of what's coming. And then Mercury won't station direct till the 25th, but that's just after that magical Jupiter Uranus conjunction. But the Kazemi tomorrow is quite amazing. This is a superior Kazemi, as they call it, or exterior, which means that Mercury is actually on the other side of the sun from our perspective. And so, in some ways, I always feel like the superior or exterior Kazemis of Venus and Mercury, and the Venus Kazemi in June is the exterior as well, is pulling down information from the cosmos through our core, the sun, into us. So be aware of what's coming up for you tomorrow. Mostly, it'll be a bit later in the day, the exact Kazemi, as you can see. For some of you, it will be on the 12th, but this is at 22 degrees as well, a master number. So this is, such an exciting month, honestly. But just pay attention to really what aha moments, what information you read, what kind of podcasts come your way, or I'm now spending an awful lot of time on Substack, and what kind of what you read on there, and what maybe they recommend. I follow a podcast, a Substack called, what's it called? Pulling the Thread. And I really like her writing. And but I read her latest post, and that led me to her podcast, which is called Pulling the Thread too. And I listened to a podcast that blew my mind, an interview with mixing the scientific and the spiritual with somebody called Jeffrey Kripal or Kripal, PhD. And I've now bought his book. So following the threads, pulling those threads, okay, as we untangle the threads of the old reality, all this new information is coming in. I'm kind of a bit obsessed with this guy now, but that's the way my brain works. Also, tomorrow, not only do we have the Mercury Kazemi, but Venus also in Aries, right? So look at all this Aries energy still building that eclipse push of new beginnings, of the new self, that rebirth. Venus is going to be in a trine aspect, a bit earlier than the Kazemi, to Pallas Athena, the creative intelligence, wise owl asteroid. And that's a fire grand trine that's very creative. I often call Pallas Athena, you can look at her symbol here, kind of Venus squared. So they've both got this creative energy and creative desire, but Pallas Athena brings in the science kind of energy, and Venus brings in that kind of more cross of matter and circle of spirit. So it's that feeling, intuition mixed with the rational thought. What a day for it! Fantastic. And the moon is it also in Gemini, which is very much about thinking. And the moon, oh, I'll talk, I'm not going to talk about the moon aspects much today. They're on my blog every day. But I will say that later in the evening at 10:26 p.m. Eastern and 11:47 p.m. Eastern, the moon will oppose the wise owl Pallas Athena, and then sextile aspect to that Venus. So that aspect, the Venus and Pallas Athena creative passion kind of aspect, will be activated by the moon as well. So let's move on to Friday, Venus's day. Okay. And looking at the aspects on Friday, the moon continues through Gemini. I'm not going to go through each aspect because I do that on my blog every day, but the moon, is going to square that Saturn and Mars. And they will have moved a little bit apart by now. So the square is a couple of hours apart, the moon squaring them. But you can see they're moving apart. Mars is moving towards Nessus and Neptune. We'll talk about that more later. But the moon is going to activate that square. and start to bring some change of about how we feel, about our perceptions, about what's coming from that Mars Saturn conjunction around those self-limiting beliefs and all things like that. So that's all I'm going to talk about for Venus Day, Friday. So let's move on to the 13th, which is Saturday. Oh, I haven't done the 14th. I want to do Monday as well, so I'll add to that. But on Saturday, the 13th, let's move as a day forward. Venus has some action again now. You can see there the moon finishes in Gemini and then later on Saturday moves into her own sign, Cancer, which is kind of very cozy for a Saturday weekend and Sunday. So you can do a lot of like cuddling up and, self-care, more self-care than usual. You know me and my self-care, I love it. But Venus on the 13th, very early in the morning, still in Aries, of course, is going to trine asteroid Lilith, talk to the hand Lilith, the rebellious teenager, kind of, nobody puts baby in the corner kind of thing. I am going to live my truth in Sagittarius. But Venus also squares Pholus. And I think there's some stuff coming up about things like there was the Supreme Court in Arizona said that there was a bill, that a law that could still be enacted that basically bans abortion in the state of Arizona. But I really think that the more that this happens, the bigger the Democrats are going to win. And yes, I know the Democrats are not perfect either, but the Democrats need quite a big majority to be able to restore abortion rights federally. So the more things like that happen, the more people will go, we can't have this, can't have our rights taken away, our bodily autonomy, which is Venus in Aries. Like, this is my body, mine, me. Don't touch it. So, if it comes up, don't fall into catastrophizing, catastrophe, catastrophes, that this is the end of the world, because I really think that things are shifting so fast that the more that things like that are enacted, the more the change will come and say, no, we have to create this federally into law now. So that's it for the 13th. Okay, on to the 14th. Then we'll hop into Monday the 15th as well, because I'm going to, I d used to plan to do these on Sundays, and well, really it's the weekend, so I'm changing to do them on Mondays. But on the 14th, we have another kind of interesting energy that kind of aligns with what I was saying about the Venus in Aries, that the sun, she's just been eclipsed. The solar feminine is rising, meets Eris. Now, she meets Eris every year, the truth teller, the table shaker, the revealer behind the white picket fence. But she's not always just been eclipsed. Notice I'm calling the sun she because the solar feminine is rising. It's really a they. The planets really do not have gender. But anyway, this is the sun and Eris saying, oh no. We're not going to take that. So that's building more on that kind of Venus. This is me, my desire, my body, my physical self. And no, we're not going there. We're just not dealing with that. The moon in Cancer all day on Sunday, which again is quite nice, but the moon does square Venus and oppose Pholus, so there may be some emotional reactions and triggers. As I said, you may feel like your basis of security and safety is challenged by all that's going on. And I know that everything's not just USA based, so this is going to happen a lot of places. But this is going to help people to rise up. Okay, so the series as well, like Our Unmet Needs, is going to sextile Nessus, so revealing more of this abusive kind of energy that we're coming from. The inherited trauma of living in under this, hierarchical kind of patriarchy kind of energy in so many ways. So now then, let's just move on to Monday the 15th. And that was not on my PDF, so I'm just going to quickly pop it in and then we'll be done. And then next Monday, you will get a 4 weeks report. So on Monday the 15th, okay, we're on it now. You can see the moon spends all day pretty much in her sign of Cancer. So any lunar aspects like the opposition to Ceres, the trine to Nessus, the moon will square Chiron and Mercury, who meet that day. I'll talk about that in a minute. The moon will square Eris and square the sun. So we'll actually have the first quarter moon on Monday afternoon. I'll probably talk about that more in next week's video, but that is when the energy, the push from the eclipse really starts. Okay, so, but we have Mercury conjunct Chiron at that eclipse degree. Mercury retrograde, revisiting Chiron at that 19 degree mark, where if you watch that interview I did with Melanie Reinhardt, Chiron was at that 19 degrees when the nodes moved back into Aries and will be there again when the nodes leave Aries. This, and like I said, it's the exaltation degree of the sun, and that's where the eclipse was. Mercury and Chiron are going to be there saying, okay, what do we need to do? The downside of this conjunction with Mercury retrograde in Chiron is it can be a little anxious and nervous, especially if you are aspected. You could feel a little bit jumpy, but you'll be kind of really, your mind will be kind of jumbling and thinking about, what can I change? What can I change with this reborn self in so many ways? Then the first quarter moon will be at 3:13 p.m., really starting to kick in, taking action and starting to build what you feel coming from that eclipse and what you feel coming with these radical changes that are going to come just 5 days later. This is a new reality, and to ride this wave. I'm actually going to show you a card. I pulled it for a client, but I feel like you all need it. So, cats. She's missed me because I've been away, but she's trying to get in. I will let her in a minute. That's for the week. It's really about starting to build on that eclipse energy, all right, and starting to create things and rethink things and make some quite drastic changes and letting go of a lot of those old self-limiting beliefs. But this is the Dragon Rider, all right, from the Witch Oracle deck by Angie Sullins. I will show you the book in a minute. And I'm going to read this card for you. By the way, the nodes in astrology are the dragon's head and dragon's tail. So this is like the perfect card for building on that Aries eclipse energy this week. So I'll read you what Angie Sullins, great writer, wrote about this. So you can see her name there. Angie Sullins, Sullins. Art by Silas Tobol. Dragon Rider. Once upon a time, when the sky was filled with dragons, there was a group of women known as the Dragon Riders. The bond between women and creature was silent, powerful, and unbreakable. It lasted a lifetime, forged entirely of fire and belonging. Life is like that dragon, fierce, terrifying, glorious, fiery, magical, thrilling, and overwhelming. Taking to the skies of self-love and self-confidence on the back of such a daunting creature is an act of wild daring and can only be accomplished by belonging to self and to life despite its jagged jaws. You need to go 2 pages, you need the second page. Now is the time to ditch the chameleon of false belonging that keeps you crawling on the ground, mired with fitting in, measuring up, staying likable. Your dragon, your life, has chosen you and is waiting for you to choose it back, just as it is, just as you are. Loving yourself in a society that profits from your self-doubt is an act of rebellion, worthy of the dragon riders. A witch knows that the only way she can truly soar is to meld with the dragon, allowing herself to belong to life and to her most authentic self, embracing it all with wide open arms. And I'm going to show you the picture in the book. It's a little bit clearer than the card because that's not shiny, but you can see that woman riding the dragon. So ride that energy, guys. This is such a powerful time in a powerful month. And seize the day. That's very much carpe diem with this Aries eclipse energy unfolding as the moon starts to gain light. Wow, much love. Embrace this dragon riding new reality. Love you. Bye.